Hello and welcome to our site. The 8th of May is Mother's Day here in Cape Town, South Africa. And so we're celebrating Mother's Day, and on the occasion, I've chosen to preach a sermon that I've entitled Leaving a Lasting Legacy. I'm sure each one of us wants to do just that, leaving a lasting legacy. We take a Bible reading first from the Psalms, and so if you have your Bible handy, please open up in the middle of the Bible. First to Psalm 78, and then Psalm 92. Psalm 98, and reading from verse 1 to 8 in that psalm. O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, what we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. They would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their forefathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. And then moving over to Psalm 92, and reading in Psalm 92, the first 8 verses, and then from verse 12 to verse 15. Psalm 92 from verse 1, It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord! How profound your thoughts! The senseless person does not know, fools do not understand, that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be forever destroyed. But you, O Lord, are exalted forever. Verse 12, The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. Well, by the grace of God, I turn 80 years of age in a few days, and so I just love the ending of Psalm 92 that says the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there's no wickedness in him. Praise the Lord. Leaving a lasting legacy. As I said earlier, I'm sure that's what every single one of us would like to do. And so, happy Mother's Day to our mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers. Eve, the first woman, is the mother of us all, the mother of all mankind. There never was, nor ever shall be, a woman as beautiful as Eve, until she got involved with Adam, the father of us all. Beautiful as she was, she got us all into a heap of trouble, carried the whole human race into sin, because her husband didn't protect her from the deception of the serpent. God put them out and closed the gates to the Garden of Eden. But praise be to the Lord Jesus. He has reopened the gates to all who receive him as their Savior and Lord. Eve left a lasting legacy of disobedience along with her husband, a legacy of spiritual death for the whole human race. The good news on Mother's Day is that, as in Adam all die, in Christ shall all be made alive. This is the promise of Scripture. This is the gospel, the good news about Jesus. Thinking of women of the Bible, Sarah left a lasting legacy of faithfulness to her husband Abraham, and together as a couple they left a legacy to all who are justified by faith. Deborah left a legacy of outstanding and courageous leadership when the men of the day were failing to lead the nation. Rahab left a legacy of hope for all who are caught in the web of the world, the flesh, and the devil. She came out of harlotry into the genealogy of Jesus. Ruth also left a legacy for all non-Jewish women who will choose Jesus as their Redeemer and Provider, Protector and Lord. Ruth the Moabitess became the bride of Boaz and the grandmother of Israel's favorite king, David. On to the New Covenant, and what a legacy Elizabeth left behind. As the mother of John the Baptist, she became the mentor of Mary, the mother of Jesus. All that Mary learned about childbearing and mothering, she gleaned from Elizabeth. And who could ever do justice to the lasting legacy of Mary, the most blessed of all women, the mother of our Lord, who burst into song at the news of her baby's destiny, saying, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." And what of Mary Magdalene, once derelict and demonized, yet she left behind the legacy of an adoring love for her Saviour, the Lord Jesus. She was the first to witness his resurrection from the dead, the first evangelist to go and tell the good news that Christ crucified is risen, alive and well. What a legacy Mary of Bethany left behind, wholly devoted to Jesus, breaking her treasure of precious ointment with unparalleled discernment, anointing the feet of Jesus in preparation for his death and burial. And one of the best of them all in the New Testament, Priscilla, the wife of Aquila, who displayed such grace, generosity, discernment, maturity, and hospitality, as together this godly couple explained to Apollos the way of God more accurately. So how very sad then to read of so many who didn't leave a good testimony behind them. The worldly wife of Lot, the lustful wife of Potiphar, the scheming wife of Isaac, Michal, the jealous wife of David, Jezebel, the wicked wife of Ahab. So it all begs the question this morning, what legacy will you and I leave behind? From time to time as a pastor, I have been privy to family conversations about the legacy that parents will leave behind or have left behind when they're gone. Invariably, it's all about possessions, money, and material things. Sadly, even Christian families sometimes end up with ill feelings and strained relationships over what has been left behind. I just smile when I think of the rich legacy my parents left me, and perhaps even richer legacy that my wife Elaine's parents left her. I received nothing when my father died. I don't think it even entered my head that I would be some kind of beneficiary. When my dear mother died and her will was wound up, I was surprised to receive 600 rand, which I was delighted to give to my brother and sister-in-law, who had looked after her so well in her last years. The legacy I received from my parents, however, not all the money in the world can buy. They taught me how to live humbly and gratefully. They taught me wisdom and how to steward the gift of life. They taught me what a really good marriage looks like, and how to raise a family, and how to choose wisely, and care about people and the environment. As for Elaine's parents, well, they also left a priceless legacy. They were the kindest, humblest, most gracious people you could ever wish to meet. Elaine's father left Weinberg High School in Cape Town to fight in the First World War. When his first wife died giving birth to their first baby, and the baby could not be saved either, he turned to alcohol for comfort and courage. He was sent after a few years by the railways to be a clerk in the East London offices of the South African Railways. There he became known as the Whiskey King of the city, lived in a boarding house, and often never knew who had taken him from the pub to his room the night before. Then one night, at the age of 39, he responded to an invitation to attend a church service where he heard the gospel, the good news about Jesus, who died and rose again, that we might be forgiven and know the gift of everlasting life. And that night Nick Carter got down on his knees in his boarding house room and gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. A year later he was known in East London as the Miracle Man. His life had so dramatically changed. 2 years later he married the widowed Gladys Nell, an assistant to a hairdresser. Elaine, my wife, was born 9 months and 10 days after that wonderful wedding. Elaine's parents never owned a car, never learned to drive. But man, were they rich. They were so rich. They entered into the richness of a relationship with Christ that was nothing short of stunning. Dad had headed up the Scripture Gift Mission in East London and was responsible for thousands of scriptures getting into the hearts and hands of God alone knows how many people. He wanted everybody in East London and the border region of South Africa to know the way of salvation. With his friend Doug McGillowey as the car owner and driver, they showed Billy Graham films in halls and churches and schools and hospitals and wherever they could. Dad taught adult Bible, Sunday school, and preached the gospel wherever he was invited. Heaven alone will reveal how many were touched by his testimony, how many lives got turned around just like his life had been turned around, how many people came in repentance and faith to Christ during those years. Now that's what I call a lasting legacy. As for Nana, as Elaine's mom was called, she was a Dorcas, warm, hospitable, sacrificial. She knitted hundreds of jerseys. She knitted until she was 90 years old. I think she believed God spent his time mending things, and she was very good at that too. She went to be with the Lord at 96. Man, I thought she was never going to die. I used to joke about her being a test pilot in a broom factory, but she was an angel, really. And so I'd like to close my Mother's Day sermon by challenging not just the mothers and grandmothers, but all of us, men, women, boys and girls, and whoever might be listening on this site at the moment. What legacy do you want to leave behind when you go to be with the Lord? If you don't mind me getting up close and personal, I'd like to leave behind this legacy, a legacy of godliness as taught in the Bible. First of all, that I taught the value of the Christian family in a day when everything seemed to be against the family. Because the Bible teaches us that the family is God's building block for a healthy society and nation, I'd like to leave behind this legacy, that I loved my wife until her dying day, or mine, that I loved my children and my grandchildren unconditionally, that I loved them so much that I would make any sacrifice for them. I know you'd also like to leave behind this legacy, that you gave your children the foundations that they could lay for their children, as they told the stories of God's intervention and grace through your own life and retold them again and again to their children so that they could tell them to their grandchildren. Respect, loyalty, humility, integrity, endurance, compassion, wisdom, a good work ethic, real character. I know you'd like to leave this legacy too, that you gave those who followed you two things, a good foundation to build a life upon and wings to fly. And then secondly, a legacy of love for the Lord. A life lived Godward. A life lived in the will of God for the glory of God. Is there a greater legacy than that, dear friend? To love the Lord with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. To love God the Father. To cherish the fatherhood of God, moment by moment, day by day. To love Jesus as your Saviour and Shepherd, your Redeemer and King. To love the Lord Jesus with a passion that is visible and evident and often audible. To love the Holy Spirit as an indwelling comforter and counselor, a constant teacher and enabler. To love the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To love God so deeply that costly obedience was a constant delight. Wouldn't you like to leave a legacy like that? A legacy of love for the Lord? And then thirdly, a legacy of prevailing prayer. The realization that a person is never any taller than he is, what he is on his knees. That prayer strikes the winning blow. Service merely gathers up the results. That prayer is not just saying prayers, but a lifestyle of communion with God that pulls down enemy strongholds and sets captive free. Wouldn't you like to leave a legacy of prevailing prayer behind? Prayer that is a lifestyle for you. For people to say prayer was his lifestyle. He communed with God as he lived out his life night and day. And through prayer he pulled down enemy strongholds and he set captives free. And fourthly, the legacy of a life saturated with Scripture. The Bible gives us all that we need to be, all that we need to know. Yes, all that we need to know to be all that God wants us to be. Paul tells his son in the faith, Timothy, every scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, for correcting, for reproving, for instructing us in right living, so that we will be thoroughly furnished with every good deed and word. And then I'd like to just mention the next four, because time is going to run away with us here. The legacy of one who loved God's church. I'd like to leave behind that legacy, wouldn't you? Why? Because Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. The church is the hope of the world. Its members are to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. The church isn't always what it ought to be, but the church at its worst is still a lot better than the world at its best. Noah's Ark may not have looked that great. It must have been pretty messy, but it was the best ship afloat at the time. And so it is with God's church today, in this fallen, broken, conflicted, confused world. I'd like to leave behind this legacy, that I love the church that Christ gave himself up for, the community of God's redeemed people, that I loved its members, I loved its ministries to the Lord, its ministries to itself, its ministries to the world, and I loved its fellowship, and I loved its worship, the legacy of one who loved God's church, the one organism in the world that will last forever, the one organism, the one community that will never, ever die. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against its advance. And then sixthly, I'd like to leave behind, as I'm sure you would, the legacy of a mission-oriented person, a mission-oriented man or woman, one who was mission-centered, one who took the whole gospel to the whole man in the whole world, beginning where he stayed, but encircling the globe in support of world mission, joining Jesus in his mission of redemption, being for everything the devil's against, picking up the fallen, mending the broken, comforting the sorrowing, caring for the souls of the lost, feeding and clothing the poor, visiting the sick, caring for those in prison. we have all realized by now that a legacy is not something that you just leave behind when you go. It's something you work on every day of your life. You start building your legacy the moment you come of age. And so, as we finish up this morning, in our brief meditation on this Mother's Day here in Cape Town, South Africa, I know we would all like to leave, finally, the legacy of a good example. The legacy of a good example for others to follow. The good example of a Christ-like life. The good example of what it looks like to be a good coach, a good mentor, a good friend, one who cherished character above success, and giving above receiving, and relationships above statues, above status, rather. A person who celebrated life and the wonders of God's creation. A person who loved all classes and cultures, all colors, all creeds. A person who loved people, people in every stage of life, from children to the elderly. I'd like to leave behind the example of a good living, generous, fun to be around person, a person who was always able to celebrate the good things, grieve over the bad things, and help to change what we could for the better. So, Lord, help me. Help us to be that kind of person. Help us to leave behind a God-honoring legacy in Jesus' name. Let's bow together in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that on this Mother's Day we can remember our mothers, give thanks for mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers perhaps even, who left us the legacy of how to live life well. And we want to pray this morning that you would grant us the grace to live well, to live our lives in the center of your will and purpose for us, to live out our lives for the glory of your name and for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to live out a life that is on mission with God day by day, that we are finishing the work that Jesus left behind for us to do, that we're following in his steps, and that we know that as children of God, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, that we've been raised up with Christ and made to sit with him in heavenly places, that our sins have been forgiven and washed away through the shed blood of Christ, and that we've been raised up to newness of life, where we live in the abundance of God's grace, where our God supplies every need of ours according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And so grant, Lord, that I grant that each one of us may leave behind one day the legacy of a God-honoring, Christ-centered, others-loving life. And we pray that there may be fruit for your glory that will abide for eternity as we leave behind a lasting legacy. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Heavenly Father, and the communion and comfort of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen.
Countless gifts of love. God, the